it lack? Where is it not enough? What questions does it not address?
Yeah. So I think that's sort of I see. So what are the shortcomings of
because
that?
Because otherwise you're not really motivating this proposal.
Yeah. So I guess that's sort of embedded in these bullets. In these bullets somehow.
So
for
maybe
instance,
you need to pull that out a little bit more in some other way. I'm not sure.
Yeah, so I say sort of here that
so
we've done some work.
Yeah.
There are several open problems and we will address...
When I read this, it felt like the proposed work is only an extension of that previous work. So it needs to somehow come across as, yeah, we only did a little bit, but bulk of it needs to be done. Or there are much more important and much more realistic, much more practical questions that are not addressed, that sort of thing. You definitely don't want it to come across as if, yeah, we're just taking that and extending it here and there and proposing a project. So you really need to focus on what is lacking in both this SRC map as well as in the general literature, I guess. And the general literature stuff, I think you've made a case for it in
the SRC map paper, so which
right.
is what I'm going to sort of borrow for the related
yeah.
work.
Yeah.
Now, so I'll
all
sort
right.
of reword this a little bit.
Okay.
Now, then the rest of the proposal looks like this. So in
yeah,
section
I
two,
that.
I want
yeah.
to do. Just focus on the background. So background in terms of storage architectures,
right.
we talk about these two. Background on energy proportionality, why it is hard with disk drives,
okay.
right? What are the real problems there?
Yeah.
And then I talk about the related work.
So right. the two architectures, you mean one that's the
virtualized architecture?
Stuff?
That,
yeah, and the virtualized one that Google, is that the one that Google and Amazon are examples for?
Yeah, so what I call the first one is... it's network attached block storage, which is the one that we've been looking at so far, which
okay.
I also call the virtualized
okay.
architecture.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, that's
and
the one that's called virtualized.
Yeah,
okay.
the one that we've been looking at in SRC map. The second one is cluster based file and object storage.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So this is the sort of the second architecture that's also
that's the one you want to kind of
yeah.
put in some blurb in here. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, so actually I want to talk about this a little bit more, you know, and try to model
okay.
it.
Okay.
I think it's
sure.
it's a different kind of architecture, so you
I
might
okay.
have some...
Very different problems.
Yeah, different problems, exactly.
Now, going back to that LaTeX file I sent you, some of those problems, they can be clearly translated into sort of existing...
yeah, so we could actually build on the,
that.
I mean, that's what I was thinking, because, the stuff that you already wrote up, we could use some of that in here in the algorithmic foundations and, you know, in
yeah.
terms of the modeling of
because
this
also
problem.
Some of those problems, they directly translate to things I was talking, telling you about set cover, maybe some bin packing, that sort of
yeah.
thing.
Yeah, exactly. So I actually talk about that somewhere here.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah.
I have to take this call.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, hi, Amit. Yes. Okay. Yeah. Okay, got it. I think we're looking at 4 and 3 from ECE and 1 from Civil. Okay. Sure. Bye. Hi, Amy. I think we'll go ahead and push for all the PhD ones, the 3 from ECE and 1 from Civil. Yeah, and we'll worry about the rest later. If you can email to Maria Venkata and tell her, okay? Okay, thanks.
Yeah, so I also listed, okay, let me go sequentially. So after this section, so related work is fairly straightforward because we have most of that.
Okay.
And then section three, I basically...
flesh out the
yeah,
actual work that you're going to do.
Yeah, well, sort of the an expansion of this part,
oh,
right? Which is
what is
the general approach,
uh-huh,
and what we have done so far, you know, the
right
preliminary work,
yes,
and talk
okay
about some results and things like that.
Okay.
Right. So that's section three. And then section four actually talks about, this is sort of the main section.
Right. Right.
Which is the research agenda. And I
yeah
have a whole bunch of research questions that I listed.
Okay.
And so we could talk to each of these for,
okay,
you know, a paragraph or two paragraphs. So for instance, these are the questions that I have so far. What are the generic properties of storage workloads? Do these motivate specific design decisions for energy proportional storage? What is the formal problem formulation for virtualized storage? What are the various sub-problems to be addressed? What is the formulation for replicated cluster-based storage, right, the different
okay
architecture?
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. Now, so there is one, we'll talk about this a little bit more, but the fact that there are multiple copies
yes
already in the system actually provides some additional flexibility. What are the quality measures to use for energy proportionality? When do we say this system is good,
yeah,
or when do we say it's bad, right? And there is also the a trade-off that we don't really formalize yet at all, which is the energy performance trade-off. Can we formalize it and actually build a system that meets a certain specification for energy performance trade-off? Okay, so yeah, so when you have replicated storage, that is the second architecture. How does replica synchronization get affected? Because now you have multiple copies,
yeah,
and there is a metadata server. It's sort of a different architecture, and there is an update protocol. All of those need to be modified.
Sure. The things
right
that you that were in the other paper, yeah.
Not in the other. So
there were some
them
of those issues were there, right? I mean, you did talk about replica synchronization there.
Yeah,
you
the cluster replicated
this is
architecture.
The cluster model, I think.
Yeah, it becomes a little bit more complex. Than the other one.
Okay.
Okay. So are there new ways to self-learn, you know, dynamically self-learn working sets?
Mm, right? Okay.
Because that is something that we don't address. How do we, you know, the working set
isn't
changes,
that standard for now for storage systems?
Yeah. So these are all not really.
No.
I mean, there is a lot of, you know, working sets always are contextual, right? I mean, so
yeah,
for a certain kind of problem, you need a certain definition of a working set. For something else, maybe a looser definition still works. So, yeah, I think this is a potential question. I mean,
yeah,
I think we should think of these
yeah
questions.
Yeah, so they ought to be written down because
mm-hmm
people can ask, because a lot of the earlier stuff assumes you know what a working set is.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, and then the question is, well, if the working sets are changing dynamically, how do I provision the additional storage,
yeah,
right?
Got
because
that
sure
yeah
has to, yeah. Then, well, how do we control the impact of background synchronization? So this is sort of where the energy performance
yeah
trade-off comes in.
Oh, really?
Is when you do synchronization, you're creating additional IOs,
yeah,
right? So you, the reason you need synchronization is because you're consolidated. If you hadn't consolidated in the first place, you wouldn't have these additional IOs happening and affecting the foreground workload. So,
yeah,
so how do we control the impact of that overhead operation of background synchronization?
Now, when you say consolidation, what exactly do you mean?
Consolidation means having fewer pieces of hardware do the same work.
Okay, got it.
Right,
yeah.
So you sort of consolidate
okay
the capability of the data center.
Okay.
How do we estimate the intensity of workload? I think this is a really we left it open completely in the other paper.
Okay.
And how do we estimate the capacity of a physical volume?
Okay.
That
also is not
this,
known.
Yeah.
I thought
so
that's
this,
more a rating for the.
Yeah. So the, it's sort of there is some approximation, for instance, random IOPS.
Yeah.
But then that's not the only story, because it the IOPS that you're going to get, IO operations per second that
yeah
a set of disk drives can provide, depends on the kind of workload. If the workload is entirely sequential, then you get a lot more IOPS.
Right.
If it's random to some extent, you get different IOPS, and this can change drastically. It can change by an order of magnitude or two orders
okay
of magnitude. So how do you estimate that IOPS capacity? How do you model IOPS capacity, right? Because there are, you know, for some workload, you get a set of disk drives can provide you a certain IOPS capacity. For a different workload, that can change because of the nature of the workload.
But when disks give you ratings for whatever peak.
So they give you best case and worst case.
Right.
Right. But in reality, workload.
Isn't worst case what you're asking here when you're talking about capacity?
Yeah, we could go with that, but then we are underutilize the system because if we are provisioning for the worst case.
Yeah.
Right. So because the workload may have a certain degree of sequentiality.
Okay. All right. So that's
and
what you mean over here.
Yeah.
Okay,
so how do we estimate the IOPS capacity?
I think.
And finally, this is something we already talked about. What is the impact of consolidation on the IOPS capacity?
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
So these are some research
right.
questions.
So
and,
that sounds,
you know,
yeah, sounds great. Yeah. Now, right.
And then I was thinking of some adding another section.
Are there any deliverables? So is there a product that you're
so these
you're
are the all the deliverables.
Deliver?
So I mean, I've sort of listed
so
all
it's
the.
It's more of a model then. It's and with a few experiments. It's not necessarily a product in the end or what.
In the end, we want to deliver open source software to say okay,
that has
here is
some of these features.
Yeah,
within.
Basically, if you can use that software and convert your
okay.
storage system into an energy proportional storage system.
Okay,
right.
Right,
but but that's of course a long-term view.
Yeah.
But we want to get started by providing some open source software.
Okay.
Yeah, so I was thinking of having some case studies in section 5.
Yeah.
But I still haven't thought much about it, and I don't know exactly what we can say that.
But case studies would have to be from known examples. So,
yeah. So,
are you looking at specific architectures of existing systems? So, what did you mean by case studies?
I mean, for case studies can be used in two ways. One is to showcase what we have. The other is to evaluate what we have, right? And there we want to look at very specific workloads and
that way. Okay.
And actually show how our contributions can actually be used in those specific scenarios.
Okay.
Right. But I don't have anything concrete yet. I just put in a placeholder because I thought about it and want to lose
Before
that train of thought.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, yeah,
okay,
I need
so
this
there are
stuff
lots
from
of,
you.
Lots of bullets, but they're gone already. They're in already.
No, the prior and results from the prior NSF support.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I need
blood.
That.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I guess you already have that. So.
I want NSF support. That goes way back. Okay.
Yeah.
If it's too old, it's probably not relevant, right?
I don't know if. I think it's. Maybe they want all the prior NSF support.
Okay. In something.
But you can take a look at the website and see what they require in terms of prior reporting. I think it's always good to have something there, right?
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
So I already uploaded the two things you wanted.
Yeah, I saw that. Thanks. Yeah. That the Ostra guys, they wanted it right away.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So.
So your everything is done there except for the body, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So my plan is to, you know, basically write the whole weekend and try to come up with a much more reasonable draft by Monday.
So tell me what you want me to do. One is we could talk a little bit more about this
replicated
cluster.
Stuff.
Yeah.
So let's talk about that.
Okay.
I think that would be very useful.
Okay. Sure. All right. Let's do that. You want the board or you want paper?
We can use the board. I think that's better. Okay, so the replicated architecture is slightly different. So I'll just go back and look at the virtualized
Okay, good.
Architecture first,
yeah.
Again, right? So assume that there are a whole bunch of clients. These are the guys who are accessing the storage system,
Yes.
right? And they are accessing the storage
True.
system via a virtualized box.
Yeah.
Say it's a piece
A
of
hub or
an
something like
appliance,
that. Yeah.
right? And we can, you know, our original view of sticking SRC map was right in here, where we have, you know, complete control on all the storage and all the IO requests going to them,
Okay.
right? And then you have a whole bunch of physical volumes. Each physical volume is a bunch of disk drives,
Right.
right? And the clients are accessing the physical volumes, right? So that was sort of the virtualized architecture. Now, the idea is that in the virtualized architecture, each of these entities is a robust entity, meaning that it has inbuilt redundancy in the form of some sort of parity-encoded information, and it can tolerate failures, single disk, multi-disk
Okay.
failures. So the problem is that building these sorts of boxes costs more money than if you were just sticking in a disk drive into one of these clients. The problem with this other approach is that, which is a clustered approach, where the only thing I have in the system is a set of clients, right? Within each client, I have local storage. It could
Right.
have a single disk, or it could have like a
Multi-disk,
small
yeah.
RAID, right? And these guys are all connected via some network.
Okay.
And the storage is actually distributed across all of these
Yeah.
clients. Now, but there has to be some sort of virtualization layer that's going to say, okay, if client wants to access some file, it needs to go and contact this other client. So for that, there is a centralized metadata server.
Right.
Okay. So each client, before it accesses any data, is going to contact this metadata server. This metadata server, so you have request from client, a response from the metadata server. This is in the form of some handle, you know, some tuple which says, okay, contact this other client which has the data at this location, right? So then this client can contact the, you know, for actual data
Appropriate, yeah.
transfer, right? So this is actual data transfer.
Yeah.
So the thing to notice is that the metadata server does not really control or any of the IO operations, or the data doesn't flow through the metadata
Got
server,
it.
but
Yeah.
it does tell the client where to get the data from.
Okay, I see.
So it can still do
So
this
it
sort of
keeps
chain
track
direction.
of copies and replications and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
So the purpose of the virtualization box, where we put the SRC
Was
map in here.
exactly that. It kept track of where what copies were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that could be served by this metadata server.
Okay.
Now, the thing about this architecture is it's a replicated architecture. So which means that I have a file X here, but I also have the same file here as well as here. And
Of
the cost
everything.
of all data is three-way replicated. The reason for that is because each of these guys can fail. So
Okay,
when
got
one
it. Yeah.
fails, it's okay because two other guys still have it.
Yeah, okay.
And that's the basic idea of why, you know, so reliability is one thing, but also performance. Because there can be bottlenecks, and you want to load balance across these clients.
Okay.
As, for instance, if this client has data that is really important, metadata server was sending handles only to this client, then all the other clients are sort of ganging up on this client and making this a bottleneck, right?
Yeah.
But because there are multiple copies, the metadata server can be smart about, you know, how to pass around the handles, and so
Okay.
that load gets distributed.
Okay.
So for both performance and reliability, we have a replicated architecture.
Okay.
So now, in this replicated architecture, how do you make things energy proportional?
But you told me that everything is copied. There's a copy of
Everything
everything.
is replicated three ways. So that is something that we can assume.
Replicated on every node. That's the
No.
point.
No,
Replicated
in
three
three
is a,
locations.
or three is
In
a specific number.
three is a
Three
specific number.
out of
Out
whatever
of
n.
three out of
Whatever number.
100,000.
I see. Oh, I see. Okay, I
Yeah.
didn't understand the three. All right. So
Yeah,
remember,
unfortunately, I have three guys here. There are a lot more guys here.
Yeah, but one particular volume or one particular relevant information is on three, is in three locations. That's your point.
Yeah, one specific, we can say block, is on three different locations.
Okay, all right, fine, then.
So
here your question is, how do you make this?
How do you make things energy proportional?
And the way that happens is it seems conceptually that if you constantly favor these two over this, then this particular piece of data won't be sought after here. But then all other pieces of data that this guy has, you have to make sure that this guy sort of doesn't favor it, right?
So
it's possible this has X and Y and Z. And the Y, it could be copies with this and that.
Yes.
And Z could be copies with that and that.
Yes.
And so if X, Y, and Z, all of these handles don't go to this guy, then you effectively can shut this down.
Yeah.
And you want to do that in such a way that it's proportional
to the load. Yeah. So that's this alternate architecture. Now, I should say that this energy proportionality for this architecture...
Now, where did the three come from? So that completely baffled me. So it
from
could
Google.
Be some number. So it could be some number.
It could be some number, but...
They can't deal with more than three just because it becomes too expensive.
That's one thing, and also they realize that they don't need more than three for tolerating failures and to do load balancing. I think their main issue was failures. You know, how do we tolerate failures?
Okay.
And they realize that having three copies is good enough. So sort of the three-way replication is now it's almost a standard.
So once you decide to shut something down, then it's possible for this guy to handle
requests accordingly. And plus it needs
so
to...
So the question really is more basic. How do you decide to shut this one down versus this or this or anything else?
So there was this other thing which I'm not telling you, which is that of rights. Okay, so the idea behind how rights work is that in this replicated architecture, which is not energy proportional, not energy efficient,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's built mainly for performance and reliability, if a client wants to write a certain file, the metadata server chooses one primary and sends the write request to that guy.
Okay.
And that guy actually forwards the write request to the other copies.
Okay.
And then once all of that is done, then a response is created. Now, if one of those is shut off, then we cannot use the same protocol again because it would wake up a sleeping client. And
so somehow they have
to modify
aware
the
of
protocol.
Each other, yeah.
Well, the,
or
I
maybe
guess,
the protocol can be that this guy tells the others.
Yeah, this guy already tells the others where are the copies located. So it can say, okay, instead of updating the...
Don't
all
just
the,
wake up this guy and not...
Or don't wake up anyone at all.
So, is there a division of stuff here? So here it seemed like there were clear different volumes that you were dealing
with. This was the simpler case.
Now, is there a concept of volume, or is there a concept of some subsets?
So here it's...
Or where is this coming from? What
is
the scenario?
So this is a block abstraction.
Yeah.
Which is that each volume here is a set of blocks. Okay, there is no concept of files or anything.
The way I look at it is this corresponds to the data for one database, let's say.
One database or one file system.
One file system or one application or something like that.
On the other hand,
here, what do I think of?
Is a completely different abstraction. It's either you can think of it as a file, distributed file system.
Yeah.
So, or... Similarly, you know, which is basically equivalent to distributed object store.
Right. So file object doesn't seem to matter. But how do I think about this in terms of Google? Let's say this is a Google example.
Yeah, this is a Google example.
So what is it that's being stored on one of these nodes?
Each of these nodes has a set of files. The set of files that go into each node is dictated by the metadata server.
Roughly, what would you expect on any of these nodes? That's the question. Is it just a random bunch of files from the whole universe of files?
The way they do it is not...
it may not be random, of course.
They actually take a file and split it up into chunks.
Okay.
And each chunk goes to a different client.
And they make three copies of each of those chunks, and they're all
exactly.
over the place.
Yeah. And these chunks are, in Google's case, each of these chunks is 64 megabytes. So they're fairly large chunks.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you can say that, well, some files are much smaller than 64 megabytes, but
sure. yeah.
their files are not really single files. They're sort of collections of files.
Okay,
so they group them, then chunk them apart, then replicate them, and do fancy things with it.
But for all practical purposes, I just have to assume that there is a universe of blocks that need to be stored in the system,
mm-hmm.
to each of which has three copies.
Yes.
And they are, for all practical purposes, they are randomly spread out in this set of nodes.
So that's the first question. Do we want to make them randomly spread out?
No, well, that's not something you have control over, right? I mean, that Google has already decided what goes where. Now your question is...
So that's one version of the problem.
Yeah.
Say, if we don't
change...
If
somebody has decided
for you
where what goes,
then what
how do you fine-tune this so that it still becomes power-aware and,
yeah.
and makes use of this? The other is to actually go and change that initial model.
Which is also fine.
Yeah.
Which is also fine, because we are saying that, well, if you want to build energy proportional system...
You just have to start from scratch and
you can get more benefit if you start from scratch.
Fine.
But you can still get some benefit if you do this additional optimization on top of what you already have. Right.
Okay.
So those are the sort of the two versions of the problem.
No, it seems, so if I just want to shut down one node in this entire system, shouldn't be a problem, because there's enough redundancy.
And you can
the
shut
question
down,
is you want to shut down, let's say, 33%. Let's say, can we shut down 33% of the machine?
Can we shut down 33? Can we shut down 66?
Or even...
Can I shut down 90%?
It seems... So as you go, as you increase this, it's likely that that some object, you'll lose all the copies.
Yeah.
And you can't, you may not be able to go that far.
Hmm.
So that's why I was saying, if you just take...
So let me tell you one more thing, which I haven't told you yet. The Microsoft research guys at Cambridge, they actually look at this version of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we were looking at this while they were looking at this,
mm-hmm.
right? And they were basically proposing energy proportional replication. Instead of doing random replication of three-way replication, they're saying, okay, let's do smarter replication, and so that we can get 33% and we can also get 66%. Now, but the thing is, what I was thinking is, on top of this, if we could replicate working sets, we can reach even 95%. Because
sure.
at least this guy, to get 66%,
yeah.
it needs to have one-third
of the... So if this guy is aware of working sets, that's possible.
Yeah, and we need to create copies of working sets. So sort of layer this idea on top of this idea.
Yeah, I mean, as far as I'm concerned, these are independent objects.
Yeah.
For all practical purposes, you just have three copies of this.
Yeah.
This guy has to do more work to figure out what is where, but that's not our problem.
Yeah.
Currently, at least.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have entities, and each entity has three copies,
mm-hmm.
and you want to spread it around over a set of machines, and you would like to be able to shut down some of these. Okay, this is a... Yeah. What does that look like? Yeah, okay. This gives me something to think about. I don't have any clear answers.
So, I mean, I just wanted to
mm-hmm.
get you thinking on this. And, I mean, I can forward you the Microsoft research paper. It's a technical report, and there's not too many details in there, but
okay.
they at least talk about the replication algorithm in there, and to some extent. So you can get an idea.
So they pick three just because it's the first odd number greater than one or something like this, or what?
Could
they have worked with two? They made three copies of everything, you said.
I think they figured out that the probability of two failures, simultaneous failures, taking out all data is high.
Oh,
and therefore
high.
You need a third copy. It's still too high. I mean, it's small, but it's still too high to take a risk.
I thought they also needed to do majority or some error correction type thing. Okay, so that's not relevant.
No, they don't do that, as far as I know.
Right.
Yeah. don't do any vertical.
So we could look at both versions of the problem, and we could say, okay, if we could control replication, how would we do it, right? And then if we already had a randomly distributed data, how do we still do, let's say, working set replication, which probably applies to both cases, right? Controlled replication versus uncontrolled replication, on top of which we want to make replicas of working sets. So the main reason for having this architecture is because this is much cheaper than this architecture. And Google, because of their scale, they cannot afford this architecture.
Right. And what is the interconnection of these nodes? Is that relevant at all? Or is it, for all practical purposes, a complete graph type thing?
We can assume that it's a complete graph.
So it's not like this is spread out over all of Florida or something like this?
No, this is within one data center. Within a single data center, typically the replicas do not cross data center boundaries. But you could have three-way replicated this your Gmail
across,
in different data
across
centers.
Across continents or something like this. But here you're considering a problem where the network is irrelevant, let's just say.
Yeah, I mean... want to implement
that's just adding another layer of complexity. We don't
we don't want to worry about it right now.
Okay. So it's well known how they go about
replicating this. From what I understand, it's pretty much you can say random. Much random.
Well, random would probably work pretty well.
Yeah. Randomness has
some
good properties.
You may be able to show that the randomness will work well here.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't work for energy proportionality at all. Because you want to have non-random copies so that you can shut off, select few.
But some amount of things not working out is okay because of this business of looking at working set, right? I mean, that's another issue. Now, the working set can change, but assuming that the working set is stable for some chunk of time, one can try and design what, one can look at this as a static problem, as not online, not something that's changing. So given a set of things, so working set, all it does is it reduces the problem size. It doesn't really change the problem in any way. So you still have a bunch of blocks you have to deal with, and you still have to figure out, and you can assume it's replicated in some pattern, and the question is which ones do you shut down?
Yeah. Well, one thing is at what granularity do we define working set? We could say, okay, working set is composed of chunks.
Yeah.
Or we can say working set is can also be composed of fragments of chunks.
And you put them together and turn it into a chunk, it into a block of this nature.
But for all practical purposes, I think we can think of working set as composed of chunks here, where we thought working set was composed of blocks here. But chunks are much larger than blocks.
Oh, I see.
Blocks are kilobyte range, and chunks here, they are defined as tens of megabytes.
Well, I would imagine for some serious, most serious applications would have working sets in this range, wouldn't it? Not necessarily.
You mean?
In the range of the size of a block, 64 meg.
So here, this is the size of a chunk,
right?
64 megabytes, but it could be...
The block is what
block
you mean
is here.
By...
That's 1K.
Right.
A chunk
that's
is...
like a page, you mean.
Yeah, it's like a page. And this is 64 megabytes, which is a chunk, but... I mean, that's what Google uses. We don't know what Amazon uses.
Right.
We don't know what...
So it's some kind of a super block type thing. But working sets would fall in this range or not?
Depends on what are we talking about. How do we define a working set? In this case, it was clear because we are talking about working set for this volume, right?
Yeah.
In this case, my first...
So even the working
to define,
set
Yeah.
Even the working set is all over the place. It's some random set of pages.
Yeah, because here each volume is being, it stores specific data that's correlated. Like it has single file system or so on, used by a single client or a set of clients, right? And these are sort of well separated out. Here that's not the case. Everything is mingled and interspersed. For instance, the same GFS file system will store your email. It will also store all the web pages, and it will store other things, right? So it's, whereas if you were, if Google were building their system based on this architecture, this volume would be storing all user emails, this volume will be storing all web content, this volume will store a reverse index, and things like that. Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yeah, but here everything is sort of mingled together.
Okay, so we have to actually exploit its randomness somehow.
If we can, yeah. I mean, so first of all...
And today, does Microsoft show that because of its randomness, you can't really...
Yeah, they actually show that. They actually show that if you have random placement, it's bad. That the energy proportionality is restricted to something. They provide a formula. And then, but if you had, like, energy-aware replication, and then you can actually
but
bring it down.
But they did assume working sets, so...
No, they don't use working sets at all. So the best they can do is 33%.
Right. So here also working set won't help you because working set will be spread all over the place, it seems.
Yeah, so my instinct was, forget about this sort of working set, but just look at, once you do the replication, whether you have controlled or uncontrolled, just look at a single client and say that this is a self-contained unit and just look at the working set for that guy. Because in the end, what we want to do
is
to switch this guy off.
Yeah.
So all I care about is its working set.
Correct.
Now, it could be a collection of working sets or partial working sets, but that's immaterial.
Sure.
Right? In the end, I want to make copies of all the
and
important data that is stored
part
here.
Of that is controlled by this guy, actually.
Yeah.
So the working set could change if this guy decides to send handles to other guys instead of that fellow, right?
Yeah. So, but it could do only that. It could do that only if actually there are other copies. So in this case, there are two copies.
Yeah.
The problem is, what if you have all three copies shut off? Then you have to rely on the working sets. So that would happen if you want to go below 33% and to go to something like 5% or... and in fact, there are studies which I quote in the proposal say that the utilization of data centers is 5 to 20%. So 33% is not good enough. Even going down to one third of what is, and the other big problem here with doing the way they do 33% is that they are assuming that the load is perfectly balanced on all the working sets, which is never the case, because Gmail may be more accessed at a certain point in time than Picasa. But if I store the same number of active copies of Gmail and Picasa, then that's not good because my latencies are going to suffer. Right.
I didn't understand that.
So let's say that the total load is 33%.
Mm-hmm.
And their solution would shut off two-thirds of the disks.
Yeah.
But the problem is, since there is only one copy of your Gmail email, and let's say the load on the email data is thrice as much as the load on Picasa, which is not at all being used.
Okay.
So the aggregate is one-third. But the individual components are
different.
There is unbalanced load.
Yeah.
And that cannot be handled by the replication that they propose, because in their scenario, with to save two-thirds of power when there is only one-third load,
this is Microsoft.
This is the Microsoft work.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. That they would have only one active copy of each data, which is not good enough, because you need that same copy in multiple locations if the load variance is distinct and across these different volumes. So again, there is a case for, you know, having more copies, but you cannot do that. You cannot have full copies because full copy is too expensive. And so therefore you want to do working set copies.
So clearly, I mean, there is some kind of a graph picture here that says...
But does that argument actually make sense?
I mean, that randomness doesn't buy?
No, first of all, I think it's clear from the Microsoft paper that, you know, they actually show how much energy proportionality you can achieve with random three-way replication.
Okay.
And basically, you don't get anything. You don't get any energy proportionality in the average case. The second is their claim that energy-aware replication, just three-way replication, without making additional copies of working sets, achieves energy proportionality is true only if there's only one volume. But if you have distinct volumes that have distinct workload intensities, performance requirements, but when you put them all together, the overall load is only one-third.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that you can operate with one-third of the storage in this sort of a replicated architecture. Because what they would do when the load is one-third is that they would shut off one-third, they're two-thirds of everything, so which means two copies down, only one copy active for each chunk, which is not good enough because some chunks are much more important
that's
to have multiple.
Yeah,
so that's, I think, one of the arguments that we should make in the proposal, saying that, well, just based on intelligent replication, you cannot get energy proportionality. You need to do intelligent three-way replication. You need to, once again, think about, working set replication.
Now, another piece of what I don't understand is what are the costs involved in turning something on again in case we need to?
Well, that is something which,
which
we don't need to worry about, I think.
I know we don't need to worry about, but at least I need to understand the magnitude, right? I mean, if it's 100 times as more expensive, then you have to kind of think about, is it so expensive that you simply should not let that happen?
No, that's not true. So what?
And
there are
so, how much can you allow for it?
Yeah, so there are two things that that we need to worry about when we spin up a disk, right? First is that you're spinning up the disk for some reason, which means that, and typically that reason is you want some data that's on the disk.
Yeah.
The second reason is you spin up the disk because you anticipate that the load has changed and you actually need that disk to service some of the I/O.
Right.
But in either case, there is some latency involved during the spin-up operation, so it's not instantaneous,
mm-hmm.
and that's typically 10 to 15 seconds. Okay. So if you're waiting on a read operation, that read operation has to wait for 10 to 15 seconds. That would happen if it's a miss in the working set and no other copy of this data existed. So you had to wake up the primary,
mm-hmm.
right? And so to read that data, which doesn't exist anywhere else, except in one of those three copies, you had to wait for 15 seconds for that disk to spin up. So there's a performance impact.
So,
the second is a reliability impact.
Yeah.
You cannot keep spinning up and down disk drives too many times because the disk will fail.
Mm-hmm.
The disk drives can only tolerate a specific number of spin-up cycles.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
So that's why the whole idea of 2-hour consolidation intervals, that we at every 2 hours we say, okay, now we can spin down some disks or spin up some disks. We don't want to do it at a 1 minute or 10 minute granularity.
So let's say I have a bank of notes,
mm-hmm.
and I arbitrarily divide them into three. And every piece of data, every block that I need to store, I put a copy anywhere here, and anywhere here.
Okay.
Now, whenever I want to shut down, I just shut down an entire bank.
Mm. Yeah, that's what the Microsoft guys
did. Microsoft does. Okay, fine.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, so they have grouped, they call it a group, replica group.
Yeah, this one would make more sense if you want to shut down.
Yeah. So their solution is actually very straightforward. You know, they just create replica groups and put one in each group, and that's it. Yeah.
Yeah, that's clear. So this would probably have optimal performance in terms of, I mean, here you can actually go all the way up to 66% and if you want to take the risk with one copy.
Yeah.
I can see that it'll work, roughly speaking.
Yeah, but like I said, it doesn't really work because if you have overall load as only 33%, but then the load is it has high variance across the chunks. Okay, so some chunks are really loaded, other chunks are not loaded. So the drive that contains those really highly loaded chunks will not be able to sustain the performance required with something like this. Because you have only one disk that can service that chunk.
You don't have three copies.
This is not one disk. This is a set of disks.
No, but one chunk is only in one disk.
Right.
In that group.
And
right.
You're saying one chunk will have, okay, right.
So if one chunk is important and getting access more, but then the overall load is 33%,
mm-hmm.
you still need more than one copy of that chunk to actually provide the performance required for that specific chunk.
So this can get into some interesting combinatorial designs, and maybe I can think about it a little bit more.
What I'll do is I'll start writing up the other part, which is
the standard. Many of the things that you fill up there. Yeah.
Yeah, and we can have another discussion over the weekend or something like that. And
so tonight I'm actually free. I'm not going anywhere. I'll think about this tonight. Tomorrow, I have this high school friend who showed up from nowhere, and I haven't seen him in 30 years. And I'm going to, so I don't know when he's coming. So it's a little bit unclear tomorrow. He may come for lunch, he may come for dinner.
Mm-hmm.
Or you may stick around for a long time.
Well, I'll be locked up in my in my house all weekend, so you can call me anytime you're.
Sunday we are going. We're trying to go for the Santur concert. I guess I sent you the flyer, right?
Yeah, I'm not going anywhere.
I know you're not going, but I'm just saying I'm stuck to.
Yeah, I have another proposal that I'm a co-PI on with Jason, that's going to need some time too.
Okay. I'm just giving you my schedule, so here and there I can probably pitch in and write something. So here they've already shown that it won't do so well. So what is so really you have to go back to redesigning this thing from scratch. Really,
they haven't shown. They actually claim that this does pretty well, but I think they miss on some important the variance issues. Although the total workload is 1/3, but some guys are heavy hitters and others are not loaded at all, and then just shutting off two of those doesn't help, right? Because you need multiple copies of some of them. You don't need any copies at all of other guys, and the working set is the concept that actually captures that, right?
Well, but then if you had parameters beforehand.
Mm-hmm.
For these things, I guess you have two things there. One is just basic load, and the other is the variance in the load. So
variance in the load across the. In this case, we can think of each client as a volume.
Sure.
Right?
But you can even associate that with each block or each chunk or
mm-hmm.
whatever
yeah.
any unit of information that you're looking at here.
Yeah.
So assume that there is some information for both for how much you're going to access it and how
mm-hmm.
much variance there is going to
sure.
be. If you can factor both of those in and then sort of decide how you're going to divide it among these three.
If you want to do that, then you'll need a lot more replicas of some guys than three, and you'll need a lot less replicas than...
Not necessarily, I see, because... Well, let's say I want to shut down 33%. Okay, let's say I'm not too ambitious here. 33% is good enough for me. So if I have some piece of data that has bad properties, in the sense either its load is high or its variance is high, both of these are somewhat bad.
Mm-hmm.
All I have to do is make sure that
I keep those nodes active.
Yeah.
Right. In these other groups.
Yeah. No, but I still want to just think of shutting down an entire bank.
Yeah, but if you shut off an entire bank, then you lose one copy of all data.
Fine.
Right?
Fine.
But then that means that if some of that data is really highly loaded,
yes,
then you lose the capability of a spindle for that data, which can be hurtful to performance.
Okay. Maybe I can now divide it this way into high and low or something.
Okay. Are we still having three copies or six copies?
Yeah, we're still having three copies. Of each chunk.
Well, I think what you're talking about is more of a migration approach, right? So because
some
well,
chunks
all
may
I'm
be
saying
loaded.
Is that all I'm saying is that this is chunk this is bank 1, 2, and 3, and always these are highs and these are lows.
Mm-hmm.
So if I have some high traffic ones, I'll put them here. But you're saying three copies is just so. What it means is these highs will always sort of be on. And
yeah,
it's
so
only the lows that I'm going to take liberties to shut down.
Yeah. So either
so I will either get
the picture here like
yeah,
this.
I'll either shut down this much or I'll shut down this much.
Yeah. So the proportionality reduces further if you do this.
Or you know you can think of this high as simply holding your working set.
That's better.
Yeah. So and this can move since it's the working set. This high bank can change. So now I still have three banks,
mm-hmm.
and I'm always sort of generally planning to shut down an entire bank, roughly speaking,
mm-hmm.
and some fraction of this will contain the working set.
Mm-hmm.
So these are not going to be shut down in the other banks.
Mm-hmm.
So if you tell me that this is, let's say, 10% of any bank, of the whole data,
mm-hmm.
let's say, then I'm going to always keep one bank alive.
Mm.
So this is going to be always alive, and I'm going to keep this working set alive.
Mm.
That's
so,
all I need.
Yeah, so you still have 33% requirement. Right? Can
so
I just,
I'm still going to shut down all of these. So this is roughly 66%.
Yeah. So the question, first question is, can we do better than 33%?
Because so well yeah so if your working set is say 10%,
mm-hmm.
what you would like to achieve is 10%.
Yeah.
Instead we are achieving 33%. So even
yeah.
these are really not necessary.
Yeah.
But at least one copy of everything is always alive here.
Yeah. So there is a whole bunch of reliability implications that those Microsoft guys also sort of skip over, and they talk about it only at a.
I think this would be a nice marriage between sort of working set ideas from that proposal and sticking it in here with the banks.
I guess the thing is that even making multiple copies of the working sets is something that we address here. The
yes.
question is, do we make multiple copies of the working set?
Yes,
like
absolutely.
We do.
They're going to be so the working set also. We're going to make. In fact, we can make more copies than three.
Yeah,
and as long as they're confined to, you know, this orthogonal set, make sure that they are always on.
Hmm.
Well, and you can actually change this. That's the good part. So you don't always want to keep these on, right? I mean, you can of course always dedicate some for the working set and say these are always on. You don't want to do that, I assume. Is there anything wrong with that?
If you always keep some on, no, that's fine.
That's fine.
Yeah.
Then why don't you just do that? Forget about all of this. Have this working set always on. This is where the working set is going to sit. They are never shut down. So you can think of these as being sitting separately. So the working set is always here. It's a separate set. And with the rest, you just shut down two of the banks all the time.
Yeah. So again, I have this sort of this graph where, we have this graph of load versus energy. So in this case, what I have is that at 10% load, I have 10% energy, but then anything higher is going to be a step function and something like this. So because I have three levels or something, what I need instead is this nice line
sure.
where
yeah, I understand.
As I go to 20%, I should have only 20% of those guys on or 25% because the problem is we are designing for specific load levels. If I'm stuck here, then I need to operate at this energy level. Or even if I'm stuck here, I still need to operate at that energy level.
But listen, I mean, as long as your working set is here,
mm-hmm.
is stored away, that is always simply using whatever percentage is the size of the working set. So that's faithful to your power aware,
yeah.
Proportional usage.
Yeah.
It's this that
is.
Pretty much is not being used at all because every time you're only going to these set of nodes to access the data.
Yeah, but if that's only when you have let's say 10% load.
Yeah.
If you have more than 10% load, you need to go to these guys.
True. Yeah.
To deliver the performance requirement.
Yeah.
Right?
So now I don't even need the banks. For all practical purposes, most of the time, if the load is reasonable, all the working sets are sitting here, I'm going to shut down everything here.
That's only when it depends on how many spindles you have to store the working set. So if you have 10% of spindles to store the working set, then if you can only support 10% of load.
So the moment the size of the working set becomes larger than what you can store in this special area, in this special set of nodes, then you're going to have to start to use things over here.
Yeah, but also the load, right? If the load increases beyond what
the working set, then you need more copies of this, et cetera, et cetera.
You need more spindles to support more IOPS. Because these guys can only give you a limited number of IOPS, which is 10% of the max IOPS.
Isn't that the same as saying you need more copies of this working set?
You need more active copies, because there are copies in here, but you need to turn them on.
Well, those copies are only 3, so they don't really count so much. You would like more copies. I mean, if the load just jumps like that, you may want 10 copies of this working set, isn't it? Isn't that how I understood?
In some sense, that's true.
Yeah.
But the increase of, let's say, 10% to 20% could be distributed across many chunks.
Yeah.
So adding one chunk per, one active replica per chunk may be sufficient to reach 20%.
So in that case, what I would suggest, for instance, is you just decide, okay, I'm only going to use things from this bank for the next 2 hours. And if there are, if some of these guys need extra copies in order to take care of the load, I'll randomly pick nodes here and put pieces of my working set in those areas.
Hmm. So if we go back to this model,
yes,
what we are doing here is for each volume, we create a additional space to put working sets.
Right. Correct.
And so each volume can store multiple working sets, and one working set can be replicated across multiple volumes.
Correct.
Right. If we use the same model here, we have additional space provisioned in each of these guys to store working sets.
That's what I mean.
From
by,
other
yeah.
clients.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Yeah.
So
I want to sort of think of, so instead of thinking of this as a cloud, think of this as some organized cloud, right?
So you have...
So the organized cloud has one area where traditionally you're going to keep working
sets. Only working sets.
Yeah. And that's the normal workload.
Mm-hmm.
And the number of copies you have here is sufficient, and everything is going to be reasonably smooth, let's say.
Mm-hmm. So here...
In which case, most of these can be shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Let's say that some subset of the things over here start to have their load increase like crazy, then you're going to start to move some of that. You're going to pick nodes over here and store them, store this extra copies of the working set.
Right. So this sort of seems like a hybrid scheme where we're doing this, where within each volume we have some additional space to store working sets, but then we have dedicated volumes that just store working sets.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So can we make it sort of more uniform and say, okay, working sets are spread across all of these instead of having this dedicated? Because it seems like a dedicated set of drives to serve the working sets is not going to be able to serve higher loads. Right, so we need to go to these drives eventually.
Right. Yeah, it's possible. I mean, you know, that same model can be used here.
Right, so I guess the...
You don't need to...
Yeah.
So it's not even clear these banks are necessary, really.
That's what the Microsoft guys do. I mean...
They don't use the banks.
No, they use banks. They the first thing they talk about.
Well, so that's an obvious solution, but... If you're only dealing with working set, the banks are not necessary anymore, it seems. Because...
you mean it could be random as well?
Yeah, it could be random as well.
The question is there anything...
That's a choice you can make as you go along.
Mm-hmm.
You decide where you're going to place and which nodes you're going to make active.
So there are two things we are talking about placing here, right? One is the original chunks.
Yeah.
And the second is chunks in the working sets.
Right.
Right.
So the original chunks They have been designed already. I'm not going to mess with that.
Okay.
It's only the working set chunks that I'm talking about now.
Yeah.
So the working set chunks, okay, let's say we don't go with this idea of special servers. All we're going to say is, so we may have to do some probabilistic calculations. So here you're saying you have to decide on the fly which of these nodes are going to be made active.
Yeah.
And these are going to be the nodes that have working set and enough copies of this working set that will handle the load. That's what it seems like. And
yeah,
maybe,
which is sort of the same problem that we have here.
That we had there, yeah.
Now
so
the question is,
able to map one problem to the other.
We can map one, that's what I thought. But the one thing which we could do in addition is that, is there anything to gain from a more planned replication, the original replication, than a completely random replication? Because that's what the Microsoft guys go after. It's a more planned replication to get, 33% and 60%.
That has to depend on practical considerations, and I'm not sure I know enough to.
No, the question is there anything to gain at all? Let's say that you had complete flexibility.
You mean theoretically, is there anything to gain?
Yeah, then to have like a more controlled primary
copy.
Well,
I would say yes. I mean, for instance, our initial model was the working set copies. You just find places all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I just confine it to some area. That's clearly going
some
to be
some area
better.
Meaning some
subset
server.
of the clients. Yeah. In which case, if anything, I'm only going to use things from here. It's very, very rare that I'm going to use things from there.
Right, but that, like I said,
and I can move this because the working set I assume is periodically changing, and periodically you make plans to sort of move this working set. Maybe you can come up with a model where the working set migrates.
Yeah.
Without too much of a cost.
Migration is always a problem because it has a lot of cost associated. On the other hand, if we had replicas everywhere, then we just need to do incremental synchronization, right? To say, okay, the things that changed here, I'm going to change those on the other place rather than have to move everything to the other side. That's why we sort of use a replication and synchronization versus a migration approach in this first one.
So then maybe we just... Maybe the working set if the working set were stable,
mm-hmm.
then I would say working set also sort of randomly spread it all around.
Mm-hmm.
And then the MDS decides, do we want to spread it all around? No, that would cause trouble.
Yeah, so here, in this case, we said that we want to replicate carefully, right? We want to choose where the replicas go. We want to choose... How many replicas do we have?
So this is odd because here you're doing exactly the opposite of load balancing. It's, you want to keep it in a few places, it seems.
Yeah, I mean the thing is that you still want load balancing, but you
load
want proportionality as well. And the load balancing comes from estimating things like IOPS capacity. Right, for a consolidated workload.
Mm-hmm.
And if we have good estimate, then we can say, well, to support the cumulative IOPS,
mm-hmm.
I need 10 disks and not 5, as the data sheet would tell me, right? So that, in some sense, balances, spreads out the load.
Yeah.
But that's a different kind of, different level of load balancing.
Mm-hmm. So you're saying even making copies of the working set is too expensive, or migrating parts of the working set is too expensive?
No, copies of the working set is not at all expensive. Because assuming that working set is really small, we can make multiple copies. But then to move working sets dynamically is expensive. What we want to do is sort of just synchronize and send updates to say, okay, if I have a working set that's 10 gigabytes in size, actually I changed only 100 kilobytes. So if I had replicas all over the place, then I could just make all of them up to date and switch those other guys on if required,
yeah,
based on the load. But on the other hand, if the load changes and I have only one replica, and to support the load, I have to copy this working set all over the place, then it's too expensive an operation. It's because it would require large amount bulk data movement. Because all the working sets are small, they're still large to keep moving this on a regular basis. Yeah, so I think we could map this idea back in here, but maybe we could do something more for the initial replication phase of the chunks. Can we gain something by having more planned replication, the three-way replication?
Clearly, you don't want the working set to be spread out all over the place, because that's going to...
No, I'm not talking about working sets right now. I'm just talking about initial data, because it's three-way replicated. Can we do the three-way replication in some more smarter way, which is what the Microsoft guys go after, right? And then the second thing is, if I have the, you know, more smart replication, do I need to change where I put my replicas to map to this more intelligent original replication method?
My feeling is that the algorithms have to be targeted towards the working set, because you have that information. It doesn't change quickly, it doesn't change that much that quickly. That's what you're telling me.
Yeah.
And so that's what we ought to exploit. I'm not sure if that's going to make a huge difference.
In changing the original replication.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah, I think so too. Intuitively, that makes sense.
So it's more a matter of deciding how you're going to now, given the situation, because the working set has now essentially no connection to that original data.
Hmm.
It's some subset of whatever was there.
Hmm.
Who cares how and where it was there? You're dealing with a working set.
Hmm.
You can figure out where to place the working set smartly. I think that's really all that's needed. I really don't see the relevance of the underlying data and its placement anymore.
Hmm.
That is useful if something you miss in the working set and you have to go look for it, etc., etc., and there.
Yeah.
And it can use its own native algorithm for it and let it do its job. I'm not sure that's going to make much of a difference.
Yeah.
So how do we place the working set in this environment?
Yeah, because the underlying...
And here, the working set, you don't have to have follow this three-copy thing.
No. You can make as many copies as you want.
You can make as many
copies. And we could go back to sort of the SRC map
right
direction.
Yeah.
Right, and sort of formally model this stuff. It seems like
right.
Then... we could use exactly the same problem formulation for both.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
And here, do these nodes also have the kinds of properties? Here, things would be much more uniform, I would imagine.
Yeah. Where? In this.
In this scenario.
Well,
the nodes at least would have very similar properties, I would imagine.
Yes.
And maybe the.
Well, not necessarily, because these clusters are always upgraded incrementally, right? I mean, nodes fail, and you don't bring in exactly the same kind of node to replace it, and so it could have different properties. So, for instance, the power-performance ratios could be different. And the working sets could, of course, be different, but maybe there is more stability, less variance in the working set loads across these different clients, because there's a random sort of distribution of these chunks. So if I take, for instance, this set of data, one chunk goes to one client, the other chunk. So if this is completely loaded, that load is going to be automatically spread across, whereas in this case, it's going to be concentrated, right?
Yeah.
So the intensities across these volumes would sort of be more similar.
But the way we are reducing it, in the end, it's all going to be on one working set, which sort of ends up being the same problem. So if I look at the parameters that you had roughly two sets of parameters. One had to do with, the power something performance.
Power performance ratio. Yeah.
That seemed more like the disk's properties.
Yes.
The other one was working set properties. Its size, its
stability.
So those are, I see them as two different things. Yeah. One tells you about the system it's going to be placed on. The one is the actual properties of the data.
Mm-hmm.
So over here, you know, when you talk about working set, we're only interested in this guy.
Yeah.
And this, for we can approximate it by saying they're all the same. Wouldn't hurt us that much.
Yeah.
At least in this scenario.
Yeah, but we could use the same heuristic that we applied here to that as well, right?
True. Yeah.
To make it uniform. And then we don't have to talk about these two things separately.
Yeah. But this issue will still remain. Namely, you will have working sets that suddenly become more busy and have to be serviced more. And so question is how to place those guys. And the solution from the old one is to make more copies and place them at appropriate places. And what are appropriate places here is not clear.
Yeah, although, I mean, I think we are missing one thing here, which is that the working set of this guy is dictated by this guy's decision because it might either send it here or to some other guy or to some third guy, right? So there is sort of a correlation here about, for instance, what constitutes working set here? What is the load on this volume, right?
So, because that, right, when I thought, so far the way I've been thinking about working set is back to the old model saying, think about it in terms of the original volumes.
Yeah, but here
another way of looking at it.
Yeah, so here the thing is that MBS can make a dynamic decision.
Few things very quickly.
Yeah, but maybe there are some stability properties that this guy does not always choose this location for accessing a certain chunk. I mean, so it's maybe he chooses at random. Right, doesn't always choose this, and then this and this. So that we can sort of assume that and say, okay, over a longer term, working set here is independent of the MBS decisions. Right. So we can say that if a certain hot data item has three copies, it is equally likely that all of the three copies are going to be accessed with the same intensity. Because the MBS is going to do, you know, unbiased redirection.
Yeah.
Right. So if you take a longer view, then if there is a hot data in this working set, it will be captured. It will be accessed on this specific volume.
Right.
As well as on the other volume, as well as on the other volume. Right.
And they will all be part of the working set and will all be will be handled in an appropriate fashion. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, so the other thing is that since we are oblivious of the copies and we are making working sets of these independent guys, then there is a problem because
now you need the working set of every machine.
Yeah, so we sort of have working set of each machine, but that working set contains data that's replicated elsewhere also, which is not known. So it has to be sort of integrated with the original information
about
the figures.
Working set really has to go back to not to this fake.
Yeah, but the original one.
But the original one.
Which the MDS, I guess, has information about, right? Because it knows all the copies, it knows.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. So instead of saying, okay, replica of a working set of a specific client, we can actually talk about working set
of a, whatever you want to call it, of a specific volume.
That requires a little bit more detailed discussion, I guess. It's not trivial to talk about that. Yeah, this is getting a little hairy. But I think this architecture.
What if you take the working set?
Mm-hmm.
So let's say there is a working set for the entire
for everything.
For everything.
Yeah.
So let's call that W.
Yeah.
This W, of course, has you can break down the piece of data information that's there.
Mm.
Each one has three cards.
Yeah.
So really, you get a collection of clients that are relevant for this working cell.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else is simply not even going to be used.
Yeah, that's basically it. But if you have a random distribution of data, then your working set is probably going to be spread across all the volumes.
You think so? Well, you said it's only 10%.
Or so that it might be spread across
almost all. I mean,
yeah, could be spread across all the volumes.
That requires some calculation.
No, it could be spread across all the volumes because you have no control on, I mean, if the data is randomly distributed, then you have no control on what goes where, and, you know, you could have a non-overlapping replicas of the working set and they, you know, sort of subsume the entire storage, right?
I didn't understand that.
So what I'm saying is that although your working set is only 10%
yeah.
of the data, but the copies are placed in such a way that to get to at least one copy of each of those.
No, so let's say I'm taking the union of all the copies of all your working set pages.
Yeah. What I'm saying is that
how can it be more than 30%?
Because although the working set amount of data is 10%, that data is distributed across all the volumes. Because in random placement, you will end up with a situation like that, right?
Yeah.
The problem with intelligent replication, I think, for the three-way replication is that you don't know
yeah.
about the working set.
So clearly, I mean, you have to be oblivious of its actual locations in the client. I think you have to just forget about that.
Mm.
Make new, fresh working set copies work with those.
Mm.
The original primary copies are not relevant anymore.
Mm.
That's something that would be required only when you are trying to clean up, when you're trying to update some old copy or something like this, dealing with transactions. I'm not sure what the appropriate terminology is.
So you can guarantee stuff only if you do sort of this banking, right? You say that, okay, I have everything in this one-third, right?
Yeah.
I don't need to go to the other two.
I definitely have one copy in this entire one-third,
yeah.
on this one-third, and now I'm going to do some small subset of machines that are going to be doing
yeah.
working sets.
Yeah, but that's not good enough, like you just said, because there can be a huge amount of variance across chunks in terms of load.
But it doesn't affect it because, so I do these three banks,
mm-hmm.
and so there are really two pieces of information, right? One is the three copies of the original data,
mm-hmm.
and the other is the working set data, which, as we decided, is going to have no connection to the actual.
Yeah.
And that I can place wherever I want.
Yeah.
So let's say I only place the working set stuff here,
mm-hmm.
and let's say I take only a fraction of this, you know, so it's 10%, so over here it'll be say 30%. So I'll take some one-third of this,
mm-hmm.
and I'll say I'll only place working set here.
Mm-hmm.
But that's assuming that there are three copies, so if the load changes or increases, then I can increase this.
Yeah, but then you might end up with a situation like this, right, where you have sort of stepped energy levels.
Not really, because... I'm going to keep this 33% on,
mm-hmm.
and this. So I'm only going to shut down this and this bank and this bank, nothing else.
Okay, so you.
I'm going to keep this on. So if my working set changes, it'll use up more of these guys, and that's it. So really
within
my
below 33%, I'm okay. But if I go, let's say 41%,
yeah,
then I have to go to 66.
Correct. So it does do a stepwise.
Yeah.
So even under 33%, I'm not doing energy proportional anymore. I'm getting some strange.
No, below 33%, you're probably energy proportional.
So okay. So then I don't even care about these three banks.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see if. Well, it all depends on whether you want one copy of the original data on or not. If that's not so critical, since we're not really using it, then maybe we could do more. There's nothing here that says I have to cut it into three pieces.
Yeah.
I can cut it into 10 pieces.
Okay.
And now my working set will only sit over here.
Okay.
If ever there's a miss and it needs to go find stuff, then that's a separate problem.
Yeah, but keeping only this active means that you can only support 10% of the load. If the load goes above,
so as the load increases, I'll start to use more of these banks.
Right, but then
I'll make more copies, more replicas of my working set, and use more banks.
But then you can only
What's that?
I mean, you don't have all the data, you're only storing working sets.
Correct.
But you need to have the original data to somewhere.
So the original data, that's what I was saying. If there are misses in the working set, then all of this is overlaid on the other one, which is still going to have three banks. And so...
Well, maybe those three banks are irrelevant, actually.
To some extent, they're irrelevant, but
but
whatever it is, my working set banks are going to be, they will sort of remain in here. So, you know, very likely you'll find the missing data over here. If it goes over 33%, you always have at least one copy. Maybe.
Yeah, that actually is a different way of looking at this completely. That's very different than what we are doing here. Because
that
here what we are saying is that there's exactly one copy of each chunk in the working set in this part, right? We don't have multiple copies of a chunk.
Yeah.
Working set is unique, I mean, in terms of the data that it has.
Yeah.
So regardless of whether a chunk is very popular or, you know, the load on the chunk, I'm still going to have only one copy of this chunk in the working set. So I store the entire working set, but then I replicate it 10 times. So I'm replicating the working set 10 times, right?
That's not the picture I had in mind. That's another possibility. What I had in mind was, I have a working set.
Mm-hmm.
This working set includes the replicas, in the sense that working set 1, there may be 3 copies, working set 2, there may be 9 copies, and so on.
Hmm.
If I look at this totality...
So working set 2 may have 9 copies of what?
Of itself, because just to sort of handle the load.
I see. So when you say W1, it's W1 for C1, is it?
I don't mean clients. I really mean the
original
data.
One.
Yeah,
I see. Okay. Okay, I guess we could look at it that way also, because this guy has information.
So this information is similar to what you had in the SRC bank.
Hmm.
So each guy has multiple copies.
Hmm.
The placement is not what you do in the SRC map. Placement instead is going to be on one of these sub-banks, if you want to call it that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be sort of overlaid on the big three banks, because... you would like to keep it in one portion so that there's a good chance that if you miss something, you will find at least one copy of the data.
Mm-hmm.
And if this totality ever becomes more than 30%, 33%, then one full bank will be on, and you'll definitely find all the data that you need for misses.
Well, you won't have any misses. Basically, there won't be any misses. Right.
Well, it's possible that your working set changes, in which case you'll have a miss, right? I mean, that's what I understood.
But if you have one entire copy on, then you won't have any misses.
If you have this one third on, yes.
Then you won't have.
So that's only if this totality becomes more than 33%, not otherwise. If, let's say, this totality is 7% of...
So you mean the total working set size, or?
Yeah, if the total working set size is, say, 7% of your universe, then it's only going to occupy one small strip, which is only a fraction of this one third.
But it's not, you're not replicating the working set.
I'm including all the replicates. So after including all the replicates, let's say this is only 7% of my of the entire space that I need, entire storage that I need. So let's use some numbers, right? You understand this part where I have three banks, 1, 2, and 3. And that's because of this strange copies that Google has. Now, let's assume that I have, I don't know what I want to call these. Let's say I have these steps in fractions of 1/10. So 1 to 10%, I'm just going to use those flags.
Okay.
So if the working set plus the replicas based on based on your other algorithm tells us that it's less than 10%, I'm just going to use
But there's original data already on those.
There's original data already there. I'm assuming that all of these have been over provisioned, and so there is some fraction that I can use for this.
If this fraction is, let's say, 5%, then
it won't be enough, of course.
Then 5% of 10%, right? That should be a size of the working set, so you can fit in, fit in that space.
Yeah.
Right. So it has to be sort of 0.5%.
Yeah. Right. That's what will go in one of those clacks. That's what you're saying.
So if your working set is 0.5% of the total size, then you can use 10% of the clients, with each of which has 5% over provisioning.
Yeah.
Okay.
Right.
But typically, working sets are going to be larger than that. Working sets are going to be, let's say, 2 to 10% of the total size.
But then, if you include replicates, it'll be a little bit larger. Replicates based on
this?
Earlier analysis.
Okay, so with the earlier thing, we create multiple replicas, but then we put them in different places.
So let's add up all of that. How much space does all your working set space? How big is it?
Right. So the replicas are the number of replicas that you can create is based. It's sort of reverse. So it's based on the amount of extra space you have. Right. So you cannot create replicas.
Unless there is some space. Yeah.
Right. So
well, here, you know, we are assuming that the system as a whole has enough over provisioning for you to take care of as many copies as is necessary.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah. So the thing is that system as a whole can do that, but that would only work if you use all the space, because that space is spread across all the clients, right? Because you cannot fit everything in 10% of the clients.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's true. Well, maybe you can throw in a few idle clients. I mean, that doesn't hurt them. They could do that, right? They could throw in some clients here that are just totally empty, that don't store anything.
They could, yeah. They could store, that's this model, right? Where you have a separate set of...
That's this model. Yeah, I guess that is correct, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm saying that this is the fraction of clients that will take care of the entire working set plus its replicates. So you're saying this is actually much larger.
Yeah, that's going to be much larger.
If that is much larger, then it defeats the purpose.
So the idea with this was that all the replicas spread across all the volumes, right? And then you activate only a few of them based on the load, right? And so
you're saying we need to exploit the fact that
there are multiple replicas that you're creating.
And you only need to use some of them to take care of the load, essentially.
Yes.
So then it should go like this, perhaps.
It should spread across the whole thing, right?
Right.
It should be overlaid on everything.
That's the same as saying putting it like this, horizontal. Then you would have it across all three banks.
Yeah, but we have to store it on all the clients, in each of the clients. It has to sort of spread across this entire space.
Correct, yeah.
Right? But
And then we need to keep some fraction on, and it's not clear, it won't be a vertical strip, it won't be horizontal. So
it would be like a random collection.
Maybe you can think of it as a...
Which is fine.
So some set of machines here would be sufficient to...
Yeah, it may not be sort of co-located like that.
Yeah.
It could be spread across.
It could have a piece here, piece there.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Which is what I was thinking initially, is just to have the same model here that we...
Yeah.
the question is
how do we define
the volume and how do we define the working set?
So is the working set with respect to the client. Or with respect to the volume?
Yeah. To me, it seems like it's easier to talk about it with respect to the client, but then there are some problems which we are missing, which is the replica synchronization. Because when we synchronize a replica in a working set with this guy, we also need to synchronize with the other guys. Right? So how does that work? Maybe we can make it work by saying, okay, we can use the same. When we do replica synchronization on one client, we can issue a write operation through the MDS to say, okay, write to this guy, and the MDS knows where the copies are, so it will go ahead and update those. But then those copies may also have, you know, they may be part of other working sets elsewhere, right? So those need to be synchronized. So it's sort of a little tricky, right? But it could be worked out. It could be worked out. So you just need to go a little bit more detail into the MDS and say, okay, MDS has two different layers. One is sort of the mapping layer from object space to this space, and then the other is sort of this virtualization layer where we actually redirect stuff, right? So when I do read, the MDS guy will say read from here, but that virtualization layer can redirect it anywhere it wants. So we could sort of stick in a virtualization layer like this guy below the MDS and intercept any IO request that the MDS does.
But the basic problem still then remains unsolved in the sense that, okay, first of all, we are assuming that every whatever disk here is over provisioned for some extra space to store working set.
Yeah.
We need that.
Mm-hmm.
And then the collection of, even to let's say put one copy,
yeah,
of the working set. And you said working set could be anything between 5% and 20%. Is that what you said?
Yeah, I mean, in our experience, being 2% to 10%.
Two to 10%. So if it's 2% to 10%, then you will need at least 2% to 10% of the clients to participate in it. To participate in that storage, assuming that they have the over provisioning.
Depending on how much they
roughly
are over provisioning.
So let's say roughly uniform over provisioning. It has to be over provisioned by the same amount. Yeah.
Yeah, but how much is that? And that would dictate how many clients need to participate in storing the working sets, right?
Right. So let's say that also is 2% to 10%.
Then all the clients would need to participate, right? Because you have 2% to 10% over provisioning in each client, and you need to store 2% to 10% of all the clients, then
yeah, that doesn't help you.
Yeah. So what we can do is, I think that we can sort of explore, layering inside the MDS.
So how much is over provisioning normally? I mean, is there?
I think 20% is reasonable to assume that each disk is over provisioned by 20%. Or
so let's think about that in terms of this your working set size. So 2% to 10% working set size of 20%, then just to store one copy of the working set will require 50% of the machine.
Yes.
That's
in
not
the
going to do very well. So you really need this pool here. Otherwise, you're just going to use too many machines, and that's all over the place. And having working set all over the place is disastrous, right? I mean, that's the worst thing you want to. That's what you'd never want to do. And we are only talking about one copy of the working set now, so far.
Mm-hmm.
So, with 20% over provisioning and working set size of 10%. You're saying just one copy, single copy of the working set is going to be distributed over 50% of the machines, of the clients. And that's already disastrous because you're going to have to work with all of them. So you need some other model to even do anything better. In fact, that same issue is going to be over there, too. You can't work with 10% working set size and 20% over provision.
Mm. That's true. The thing is that some working sets are, if because you have multiple working sets, some working sets are smaller than other working sets, right?
Okay.
And therefore, some working sets can actually be less than 1%.
So we need an average number, right? Mm-hmm. So what is a good average number?
I think a good average number, like I said, is 2 to 10%, right? The average would be 6, whatever. But you can have a large amount of variance in the
Let's leave out the variance for
in
now.
The actual sizes. Right?
So let's leave out the variance for now. Mm-hmm. Let's say 5% is an average working set size.
Yeah, 5%. But 5% of what is the question? If the original size of the volume was small, then 5% can actually be.
No, but then its over provisioning will also be small. So we're just looking at what it can handle.
Right, but it needs to get copied elsewhere, and maybe the over provisioning.
So let's forget about copies now. That's what I'm saying. So I just wanted to see how many clients would simply have to be on just to get to take care of your working set. One copy of your working set. There's not even worrying about more than one.
Right, but if you combine storing, keeping the partial working set in some machines and using those machines' original data as well, right, then you can reduce the number of active machines you need.
But here we are not using the original data at all.
We are not using it. We were using it here. So that gave us more flexibility.
Gave us a little bit. Gave us another 5%. That's all. It's not like it gave us a whole lot.
If you keep on, let's say that one of those volumes are really huge, right? So it has a large working set.
Yeah.
It dominates.
Then you should just keep that on.
Yeah. Keep that on, and it can also
serve
other guys.
Its over provisioning will be 20% of that, and so higher, and so it can hold a lot of copies of the other stuff. Yeah, that is clear. But here, I see these as clones. I mean, I think of this as clones.
Okay.
For all practical purposes. And if they're clones, really, there's not that much difference between them.
If we think about working sets of this guy, right?
No, the over-provisioning is uniform, but it's the working sets may behave weirdly.
Hmm. The over-provisioning is sort of uniform, yeah, that's true.
So that's true. But then, I mean, if I average out over the entire system, all I'm saying is if your working set is roughly 5% of this entire size and the over-provisioning is 20%, all you can do is you still need 25% of the machines have to be on just to take care of one copy. And if you need more than one copy, then already you're up to 50%.
Not really, because like we said here, if we have variance in the size of the volumes themselves, I could possibly go to 10%, right? Because one volume is large, and we keep that on and satisfy a large fraction of the working set.
But that's because there you were using this non-uniformity in the sizes.
Mm.
Here, I'm not sure if that is necessarily true.
Here we have, again, you have volumes, right, which are, you know, multiple file systems. The problem is that these volumes are distributed across the actual clients.
Mm-hmm.
But we know that there are some volumes which are bigger, some volumes which are smaller. But we cannot say, okay, I'm going to keep a large volume active, like we could do in this case, because there is no such large volume. All of these are, like you said, clones.
Yeah,
and the volume is actually spread across all of these guys, right? So it sort of, makes things worse for us.
Maybe a negative result is also useful. Yes, if you
You're
can say
saying
something
that
negative to say that this design intrinsically is bad for
energy
power for energy proportional. That's not a bad observation, is it?
It's not bad, I think. It's not bad, but we had to prove that, right? I mean,
you have to prove that.
Because unfortunately, if we say that this something is not good, we had to prove it, right?
No, everything has to be proved, but that seems more likely here, possible.
Mm. Yeah, that's a problem, yeah. Yeah, I mean, given the percentages of, 6% average working set size and.
If you want to propose an alternative design, then you have to somehow show that this is not good. Why would Google want to abandon something it has spent a lot of money on to go to some other model unless you prove that it's not good? So there's no point in spending your energy on a new model unless you're able to show that this is bad.
Yeah.
That would be my take on this.
Yeah. Yeah, the thing is that we are looking at these two because these are the dominant architectures out there today in
That's
use.
fine. That's completely fine. That's
And we want to propose
reasonable.
a solution for what already exists,
Sure.
right?
Yeah, absolutely. And if this is intrinsically bad, then it would be worth trying to show that.
Yeah, I think so. I think we can.
How do we show that?
Maybe just by
It
showing
just
that.
needs some probabilistic arguments, I think. So let me look at what this Microsoft guys have done. Do they
Yeah,
have any probabilistic arguments here?
no, well, they actually say that we're going to do the three banks and that's it. And they
But
show,
you said
okay,
that
why?
they claim this random placement is bad.
Yeah,
So I
they
want to
do.
understand that.
They
Do they
do.
have
Well, first
any?
of all, they don't make working sets at all.
It doesn't have to be working set.
Yeah.
On what basis do they say random placement is bad for energy aware?
I can look at the paper.
I'm afraid of opening my email. That'll be all good. No, something else. Hold on just a second. Let me just check this. Today was last day for. Okay. So you want to search for
So it's
something?
for Sierra Microsoft.
SIE.
SRRA. Oh yeah, that's the fifth guy, sixth. Yeah, that
Power
guy.
proportion.
And they have a PDF there.
All right, I really have to save this, otherwise it causes me trouble.
Oh, so you need to save it and then print it.
Yeah.
We have two printers.
Yeah.
One is a color.
Yeah. There's some arguments here, but I don't see any.
There is no proof.
Yeah.
There is no proof.
Okay.
Well, there is some. I guess there is some formulae,
right?
And
yeah.
they, I guess, there is some proof for why they have those formulae.
Right. Yeah.
This one here, right here. So
okay.
they say naive random. You can only power it on R minus C. But I get
the worst case or what? Number of servers it can. Oh no, it's average.
I don't know.
R is the replication level. Okay.
And G is the gears, which is the yeah, the, how many gears you want. Yeah.
I mean, how
so
many levels?
How many energy proportionality levels you need.
Okay.
So they talk about random, naive random, and then naive grouping of some sort. And then they say power aware grouping. Actually, naive grouping is the one that we're talking about. They say this is not good either. And then they do some power aware grouping. So I haven't looked at it in detail, but maybe you can.
Is it?
Yeah, it's
November.
Very recent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So my guess is they send this too fast and they didn't. It didn't get in. Yeah.
I see. Okay. do that.
So we can talk tomorrow, you know, whenever you have time.
Yeah.
In the meanwhile, I'll continue to work on the draft.